You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Big Friday vibes over here in the PHNX Sports Studios. Thank you all so much for tuning in to the PHNX Coyotes podcast, and shout out to OG's Brands, the official sponsor of Flavoring Fridays. Head on over to OG'sBrands.com to see their full lineup, including their two newest gummies, the OG's Naturals and the Big OG's, and find out where you can purchase. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, leave us a five-star review. And we are here with Craig, Petey. We have Jacob behind the Mac today. How's everybody doing on this fine
Friday?
I'm
seeing a big like mute symbol right over my face, which I feel like is something you guys are going to want to do today during the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's foreshadowing.
Ooh, it might be.
Yeah.
By the way,
I don't think they're seeing it.
Roaring Fork said, Leah cut her hair. Isn't that funny when people point out big changes?
You know, do you point out my changes? Have you noticed that I've lost some weight? You didn't notice, did you? I can't really tell,
Craig. I feel
like
that's different than hair to comment on.
I don't comment on people's appearances.
I cut 7 inches off my hair. I feel like that's
I did with my wife. We did the same thing, but, you know.
Wow.
Petey, have you done something different with your beard? No?
I'm hurt.
Okay.
No.
All right.
That looks good, though.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Let's go.
What a week.
Jacob, why is there a mute thing above me? Why is it still there?
Nobody can see it except you, Craig.
You can see it, right? You can see it on the big screen.
I can see it, but nobody watching
it. Literally has nothing.
Am I muted right now?
It's because the television is
Am I muted right
muted.
Now?
This television right here, muted.
It is OG's Flavoring Friday, is it not? It has been a really exciting week in Coyotes land. I think we all needed this week after a tough 2024 in the Coyotes sphere. We talked so much this week about Josh Doan. We're still going to talk about him because the youths, as PD was saying
the
last
youths.
Night.
The two youths? The three youths?
The youths.
It's another movie reference nobody gets.
The kids are all right now. Josh Doan, Dylan Gunther, Logan Cooley.
The kids are all right?
Do I know exactly what it's from?
No.
Well, there's a movie called The Kids Are All Right.
Well, who was
Mark
that?
Mark Garofalo.
Okay. But there
Mark
was also
Garofalo.
You know the band, right? The Who? You've heard of The Who? The Kids
yes.
Are All Right? Thank you.
There's a Fall Out Boy song called The Kids Aren't All Right.
Really?
Yeah. But The Kids Are All Right for the Coyotes.
Is that about Columbus?
Ooh.
Too soon?
Anaheim? Ooh, yikes.
Not Chicago, because God knows they got the Calder winner, so their youths are in great shape.
Stay tuned for that conversation.
I'm going to talk about that one.
But
how am I supposed to look up shit if our internet doesn't work?
Oh, my God.
I don't know. That's fair.
Show is insane.
Is that fair, Petey? It is fair.
Oh, my God. All right. There's 9 games left this season, but... You know, I think there's some exciting stuff to look at. A couple questions. When will Josh Doan go back to Tucson? When will Dylan Gunther go back? Will he still go back? What's going to happen in these final 9 games? There's a bunch of Coyotes on the verge of 20-goal seasons. We'll talk all about that. Logan Cooley potentially back in the Calder conversation. All those things we will talk about today. But let's start with talking about Josh Doan and a potential timeline for him here with the Coyotes.
I just can't see him going down if he keeps playing like this. Can you?
I can't.
Can
but
go for the playoffs.
Will they? Like, if he plays 9 games, will that?
I hate to Major Nelson. Apologies for answering your mailbag question ahead of time, but the entry level slide does not apply to Josh Doan because he signed when he was 21 years old. It only applies to 18, 19 year olds, and in some cases, a 20 year old. So he doesn't get to his contract doesn't slide. It's going to expire no matter what in 2026, so it does not apply to him. So you don't have to worry about
the
10 games.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Sounds like facts to me. Josh Doan, I mean, we're all excited he got the opportunity. I think the one good thing this team did with Josh Doan is they waited and they cooked him and they baked him and they let him sit and they finally called him up, honestly, because he earned it. He deserved it. He was their leading scorer down there. He is one of the leading rookie goal scorers in all of the American League, and they needed a player. Mm-hmm. And you saw Leonard was up for a cup of coffee. The Kirkland's been up for a cup of coffee, but they needed someone to be here in the absence of Barrett Hayton and to take a longer term role. And I think you have to reward the players that are playing well in the American League at some point, and he's the guy. And so I think that they needed to call him up. Now, Craig and I talked before the show about what the expectations
were. In the elevator
were.
When we were still speaking. Yep.
And we were still talking then. Yeah. This may go off the rails. But
I think it already has.
But Josh, I think the expectations for what Josh Doan was going to do here in his first couple of games was not what he did. Like, I didn't see that. Like, I thought he'd be... I know he's a smart, responsible player. I expected that. I expected over the red line, dump it in, be a responsible F3. You know, I expect him to play good in the defensive zone. I wasn't expecting his ability to jump right in at the pace that this league is played at, jump right in and not miss a beat for what he was doing in the American League. His ability to get to the net, his ability to make good plays, his ability to provide offense. I wasn't expecting that. And I don't know, you know, I talked to Stan Wilson today and the longtime equipment manager there who's known Josh since he was born. He said, well, big surprise, Stan said he expected it.
Really?
Yeah. But I think that's just the belief that those people, there's so much belief in Josh Doan.
In the Doan brand.
And it really, here's the question though, Craig. And I know we've talked about Barrett Hayton missing extensive time for this team. I know he's still getting, he's on the ice. And I know we saw Boyd on the ice. And if Barrett Hayton somehow can return over the next 9 games, that would be the only way that I see Josh Doan going back down. If he does not return during the next 9 games, I don't see how you send it back down. Because if you send it back down, you need a player here.
Yep.
If they had an extra player that was sitting out, that would be different.
Yeah.
But if you send Josh Doan down, you got to call somebody else up.
Yeah, and you could conceivably call another forward up Tucson, but with what he's done through these first two games, and I'm not saying he's going to sustain the 164-point pace that he's on right now, but if he continues to do the things that we're seeing, how do you send him down before then? I feel badly for Tucson losing such critical players, Dylan Gunther and Josh Doan, who would have been their two leading goal scorers this year. You take them both out of the lineup, they're fighting really hard for home ice advantage. It's a bummer, but that's the reality of the AHL. It's a developmental league. They're there to push guys to the next level, and that's what Potts has been doing. Shout out to Steve Botfan for doing just an unbelievable job with that team. I just don't see how you send Josh down at this point.
I don't think you can. I think one of the things, and again, this isn't from the club. I didn't interview anybody. I'm just looking at a calendar going, okay, what do I think? And you see, you get them up here, you play 2 games, and you play on a Thursday, and you send him down on the Friday, and he's able to play with his American League team over the weekend. That made sense to me to start. Well, then he gets the 2 goals. And he can't do that. And now you start looking and you go, okay, well, they've got how many? 4 more home games. Maybe he finishes out the home schedule so they don't make him travel. It's a really hard road trip.
I thought about that too, yeah.
So maybe
there's some sense to that.
The only other one that I think is you've let him finish out the road trip, and then instead of going from California to the Northwest and then all the way into Canada on a very long, hard trip, that might be another point that you go, okay, Josh, You did what you came to do. Oh, we've got a few games up. We're going to send you back down. Maybe. Yeah. That's the only other demarcation on a calendar that I think makes sense. I don't think he leaves. Zero chance that he would leave before the end of this this homestand. And again, there's not somebody that we're waiting for other than, again, I'll say Barrett Hayton because we never know. But you can't. Again, what do you, John Leonard coming back up?
No,
Kirkland coming back up?
The other guy that I think about is Aku.
Aku Rock.
Might get a shot. I think he might get a shot before the end of the season.
Yeah.
But I don't think Barrett Hayton's coming back this season.
Yeah.
So, and with the way Josh has played, he didn't have 2 goals, but he had 2 assists.
Yeah.
And you just saw how he played the game again.
Yeah.
He played the game the right way. He was a smart player. He didn't hurt them in any way. He created chances. He made a lot of good defensive plays. And I go back to the thing that Steve Potman told me after that first game. I promise he'll be the same way the next game and the next game and the next game and the next. He's a consistent player. That's what he's shown down there. I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed for the rest of the regular season, then they sent him down, even if it puts Tucson in a bind.
Well, Tucson has already clinched the playoffs. You mentioned they're fighting for home ice, but they, at the very least, they have made the playoffs. And Josh even said, like, he's excited to go back down and help them in their playoff run. But that brings up the next guy I want to talk about, Dylan Gunther, because Dylan Gunther, you had a great article on him that went up this morning at gophnx.com. Highly recommend everybody go check that out. But what Dylan Gunther has accomplished since he arrived here, played his first game on January 7th with this team. We all thought it would be temporary. We all ate our words big time that weekend. We couldn't have been
in
more.
In fairness, they were Bill Armstrong's words. So.
True, but we couldn't have been more wrong. And since his arrival, he has 12 goals, 24 points in 36 games. We talked last night about how Logan Cooley has thrived since Dylan Gunther's arrival. But Dylan Gunther has pretty much cemented himself. You know, we're talking about Josh Doan essentially cementing himself ish right now, but Dylan Gunther with a larger sample size has really cemented himself as an everyday NHL player. But I know you wrote extensively about him, so didn't know what you wanted to add.
Sure. And listen, to say somebody's on a pace is probably not fair because they have to sustain it over a long period of time. But I'm going to say it anyway. He's on a 27 goal, 54 point pace right now as a 20 year old forward. More than that, though, you ask Andre Tourigny about him and he just raves about so many areas of his game. The quote that I had in my story, everybody talks about his shooting. OK, it's obvious, but he has a good stick. He reads the play extremely well. He plays well in his own zone. He sees the play before the play happens. He's two plays ahead all the time. He plays with a lot of pace, and we're going to talk about that one. Offensively, he moves his feet and gets in on the forecheck. He goes through the neutral zone really well, sees options really quickly. He does so many good things. He's a player who will help your team even when he has a bad game.
Yeah, one of the things that surprised me about Dylan Gunther this time around, there's two things. One is his pace. I thought last year I was hard on him, saying at 5-on-5 he went unnoticed. I think you noticed Dylan Gunther a season ago mostly on the power play when he had time and space and he had the ability to get those shots off when he had time. And 5-on-5, I thought the game was a little too quick for him, but he was 19 and he went back to juniors. And I think that clearly is gone. His ability to play a pace, not an issue. And secondly, how well he defends. I didn't realize, again, maybe he wasn't defending it as well a year ago. Maybe the game just was too fast for him a year ago. But this time, yeah, he's a 200-foot player.
He is.
And I think when you get a responsible player that also can provide offense for your team, that's a guy that's going to get a lot of ice time. He's going to eat a lot of minutes, this kid, because he literally can do it all. He can play power play, penalty kill. He's 5-on-5, offense, defense. He's really impressed me this year. He's a much better all-around player than I had given him credit for. And his ceiling is pretty high.
Yeah, he's like 20.
He's 20. He's a kid. Plays with an edge. A good player.
Now, he's going to face tougher matchups, right, as he moves up in the lineup. And people need to keep that in mind. It's not a, again, it's not a steady lineup. When you face tougher matchups in the NHL, you have to adjust then. I can't do what I was doing before,
right?
Because I'm not facing the third line of this team anymore. I'm facing their top defensive line.
Right.
It's going to change things, and he's going to have to adapt. But he's so adaptable. He's so coachable. And we've seen this over and over again when he gets sent, wherever he gets sent, whether it's the WHL or, you know, he goes play for Hockey Canada or he goes to the AHL. He listens to what they tell him he needs to do to get better. He does it, and he does it in short order. People were saying when he got back up, see, he belonged in the NHL. No, what he did is he used his time in Houston, Tucson to get even better. I almost said Houston.
I know, that was scary.
to get better. He's a different player now than he was at the beginning of the season. That Tucson stint was really valuable for him, so don't discount that. Again, the idea of overbaking, kid, let him bake in the AHL. They did, and now, hell, he's ready.
Yeah, and I think that what you said is, while he belonged to the NHL, well, no, he earned his way back to the NHL by going through these steps, going back to Seattle, a place that he didn't want to go.
Yeah.
And excelling and playing well. Going to Tucson, a place that, to be honest, when you go back to our pregame,
we were surprised.
Preseason shows, we were surprised that Dylan Gunther got sent out. Right thing, just thought it was going to be a hard political move.
Mm-hmm.
They did it. And he's scoring at a better pace or a similar pace that he got in the American League this year. He got 10 goals in 29 games. Here he's got 12 and 36. Very similar pace.
Yeah.
But he got the opportunity to play a lot of minutes, a lot of important minutes, a lot of top line minutes where he's getting top defending in the American League.
And he got bigger.
And he got bigger, stronger, and most importantly for me, he got more confident. and you got the time. You get a lot more one-on-one time in the American League. You get a lot more practice time in the American League than you do in the National. We've seen it. This team never practices here. They never practice.
They may have one practice the rest of the year.
And down in the American League, you practice. Yes. You have practice days.
You have that whole week. Like, I know they play some midweek games, but they get a lot of weeks
a week.
You're working out. You're doing off-ice stuff.
Yes. Yeah, and you're in your home building, and then after you're done skating, you do skills, guys. And after the skills stuff, you go to the weight room and work at the weight room. Mm-hmm. I think it gives you more of an opportunity for that one-on-one attention to help your development. And clearly, that's what happened with Dylan Gunther. And to be fair, that's what happened with Josh Doan as well. Yeah. He took advantage of all of those extra coaching moments that he had down there and all the skill coaches and skating coaches. Josh Doan took advantage of that. And I think that's really helped both of them be what they are today.
Can I read the comparative stats from this story, too?
Of course.
Since Dylan Gunther's recall, only two players aged 20 or younger have more points than him. Wyatt Johnston for Dallas, who's having a phenomenal season. He's got 34 points over this stretch. 2022 first overall pick, Juraj Slafkovský, who is, come on, we were talking smack about him earlier in the season, if you remember. He's got 27 points over that stretch. You know who doesn't have as many points as Dylan Gunther over this stretch? Connor Bedard.
Who?
Dylan Gunther has more points over this stretch than Connor Bedard. Let me say that again. He's only 13 points behind Logan Cooley, and he's played less than half the games. Dylan Gunther is lighting it up. Dylan Gunther looks like a legit top line player. Really,
and
really impressed.
January.
Yeah.
Like, that's not just like, oh, he's been here for 3 days and he's got more points than Bedard. That's a lot.
Over that same stretch, yeah.
That's a 2 month span.
Yep.
And he's got more points than
Connor Bedard.
Bedard.
Huh. It's also a plus player. Oh, did I say that? Preview.
Oh. Pete Blackburn, get ready.
Pete, are you watching? Mark Lazarus, watching?
I'm sure Pete's watching. Too soon.
So one other question about Dylan Gunther. Is the plan for him still to go play with the Roadrunners in the playoffs?
Yes, it is. He will be down there. Will be down there. Josh Doan will be down there. Michael Kessler will be down there.
So here's my question.
Hopefully they have home ice so they can... It's so important to them to play in front. Yeah,
they
get to play all the games at
Coachella. And never came back.
Play in front of your home fans is important. They want to give them that kind of reward. That's really important to Potts.
And just hear me out, Craig.
Yeah.
Where do you think... Like, I know where the management stands on this. Big, important games, end of the year, playing important games for your franchise. That time you're given an opportunity to win. Where do you think the player stands on it?
On going back early?
For a team that he hasn't played for 3 months after playing this long in the NHL.
Oh, Dylan Gunther?
Yeah.
I think he's with it.
Is he going to go down to Seattle reminded me of it, where he played 33 games, then went to Seattle. Now he played 36 games, it'll end up being 40-some, and now he's going back to Tucson. And I know he struggled with going back to Seattle. You talked to him when he went back to Seattle, and it was a hard transition.
Didn't struggle on the ice, though.
Do you think it's different going back to Tucson than it is for him going to Seattle?
I do, because I think he understands what's at play here. I think he understands now, okay, you've done it. You've done everything we've asked of you. You are an NHL player. We want you to play in these meaningful games this spring that you're not going to get up here. So I think he's okay with it. I think he understands what's happening here. And this will be the last time that Dylan Gunther plays in the AHL playoffs. So go enjoy it. I mean, it's playoff hockey. Why wouldn't you want to play playoff hockey?
Yeah.
I still wish Logan Cooley was going down, and we'll get to Logan Cooley in a minute.
We will. Still so much to talk about. First of all, it's so fun talking about the future. We talk a lot about the future in our Discord. People literally like follow the Russian prospects in there, so you don't need to know what's going on. You can just ask someone in the Discord, and they'll find out what's going on.
It's
unbelievable what goes on in there. If you want to be a part of that, become a diehard today. Go phnx.com/diehard. You get a free shirt or hat when you sign up. You get 20% off merch, 20% off on events, access to diehard-only content. Like Craig's mailbag, which is coming early next week. Like
Sunday.
Easter there
Sunday.
You go. Like the prospect report as well. All those things diehard only. Plus, sometimes we do intermission breakdowns only for the diehards. There's just a ton of perks to becoming a PHNX diehard. So we invite you to join the family today. And I've been saying Petey needs to start giving his anytime goal scorer picks in Discord, because he has been on a heater over at BetMGM.
Two again last night.
He was 2-for-2 last night. He's been, and I said it should be a diehard only thing that you give out your picks.
I'll do it. Tomorrow. They play again. Oh, tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Yeah.
I'll do it then.
I think you should do it. So
I will.
BetMGM, this is prime time to get over to BetMGM, because we have March Madness, men's and women's, MLB started yesterday, NHL playoffs around the corner, NBA playoffs around the corner. It's all happening right now, and you got to get in on the action over at BetMGM. So sign up for BetMGM. Use the bonus code PHNX. Place your first BetMGM sportsbook wager through the BetMGM Sportsbook mobile app for at least $10, and you'll receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if the bet loses. Check out the show notes for full details. And now, listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Bonus bets expire in 7 days. One new customer offer only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY, 467-369, New York. Call 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in New York, Nevada, North Carolina, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
And this BetMGM parlay pick, I'm scared, comes courtesy of Shane, who is standing behind us menacingly.
PHNX Bets.
And the parlay pick is a home run
parlay. It's baseball
time.
Yeah. Home run. It's the long ball, as they say in the game.
It's the big swing.
Jordan, is that?
Jordan
Alvarez and Jose Ramirez parlayed.
So here's what we're doing, Steve.
Plus 2240.
Plus 2240. That's some good odds, right?
That's really
good. Throw $10 on that, how much do you win?
A lot.
$224.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's super easy because you only have to root for two things to happen. Obviously, home runs aren't super easy, but when you find good matchups, just throw them in there. Super easy to do.
Pitching matchup, and you got a guy that hits that pitcher, boom.
Yep.
And you bet on it.
Watch PHNX Bets Daily Monday through Friday at 11:45.
With the Diefenlock. I watched
the
Diefenlock.
Were you talking about the banana case?
Well, I was going to. I mean, I wanted to talk about Illinois because you were confident and I was not. So what was the basis of your confidence in the Fighting Illini?
I'm just simply better at this than a lot of people. So.
Okay.
All
right. That's okay
that's
with
me. That's
a
fair remark.
What's happening in their next game? Is bad things against UConn?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
UConn's a freight train from hell. They're going to win by 20.
I agree with you.
There you go.
Okay, back to our hockey discussion.
No, back to PD.
I'm rattled here because Diefenlock's got this old soul. Like he's a 27 year old.
Yeah.
In the body of he's got like a 35 year old man. No, not your body, his mind. Like he's just a smart.
That came out wrong.
No, he's a very mature, smart man. He doesn't come across as this 27-year-old kid.
I'm 26, and did you just tell the viewers that, in layman's term, I'm developed?
You have the body of a 35-year-old man.
No, he has a body. If I said body,
and you know what's even
wrong.
Worse than that, chat? My girlfriend laughed at that. He's built like a bag of milk.
Dad bod. It was not my intent.
I have no comment.
That clearly came out wrong. Shane, there was actually a compliment in there somewhere.
I'm not getting involved.
But I just missed it. At Gila River Resorts and Casinos, no one does it better with an unprecedented level of entertainment and excitement that you won't find anywhere else in the desert. It is time for a staycation. Their state-of-the-art gaming floor with slot machines, blackjack tables, and live casino games, not to mention Arizona's largest casino sportsbook and their dining, upscale, too approachable. You got to check out Prime A Shula Steakhouse and then grab a cocktail by the pool while you're on your staycation. And then where do we have to go? To the showroom, because who's coming in April? Ice Cube, Wiz Khalifa, Dwight Yoakam, Clint Black, and so much more. Head to Gila River Resorts and Casinos and let them show you what Next Level is all about. You do you at Gila River Resorts and Casinos. Visit play@gila.com. For more details,
I would go for Ice Cube. Maybe I should make Patrick
Brown. You could
Brown
make a staycation.
Patrick Brown could buy me my lunch there.
Buddy,
instead.
Yeah. It's a AAA four diamond hotel suites at the Wild Horse Pass Casino.
Can we answer Christina's question?
Christina, we are working on the draft trip. I promise you.
It's coming.
As soon as we have info, I will let everybody know ASAP. So stay tuned. Okay.
Are we going on a boat cruise?
I don't think there's many boat cruises in
Vegas. You can
do
it in the Bellagio Fountains.
Yeah. Oh, we can go at the Venetian. They have one. We can go, Craig and I, in a gondola. That's actually sounds romantic,
can you sing
Craig.
For us,
what?
Can you sing for us?
I would be glad to. There's probably a pretty better than good chance that I do that.
You know an Italian, aren't you?
Very good chance I do that. But I will not do this. I draw the line at helicopter tours. Will not do.
Really?
Absolutely. What do you mean? Why? You guys watch the news?
Anxiety. Okay.
They're in the sky. They fall out. That's it. Not going. I'll ride the roller coaster at New York, New York, but I will not do a helicopter
we're
tour.
We're riding the roller coaster at New York,
New York.
I like fire. I like roller coasters.
Heck
so.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one there is, it's fine. I'm in. Have you done it?
No.
Oh, buddy.
We were supposed to do
it's
it.
It's fun.
And it closed.
We'll ride the roller coaster.
And they haven't done any maintenance on it since they built it in 1994.
No, they did do maintenance on it. That's why we missed it.
Okay.
Okay, let's continue to talk about the final nine games. Something that we are keeping our eye on in these final nine games. Listen, the Coyotes, they're eliminated from the playoffs.
They are.
We're talking about the youth. We're talking about the excitement.
The youth.
There's a few other things to keep our eye on, and one of those things is that there are a few guys already with 20 or more goals, and there are a few guys on the verge. So, Jacob, if we can take a look at who currently has 20 goals. Other graphic. Okay. There we go. Coyotes, 20 goal scorers and counting. Clayton Keller, 31 goals so far. Nick Schmaltz, 21. Bukestad, 20. Kraus, 20. And then you have Carconi with 19 and Logan Cooley
with
16. Carconi, I think, honestly, it's a very real possibility with nine games to go that Carconi and Cooley could both hit the 20 goal mark.
That'd be cool.
And that means the Coyotes would have six 20 plus goal scorers on the roster, which is impressive. So now, Jacob, we can look at the
other. Okay, hold on. In my defense, the one I opened first, the title is 20 goal scorers.
Okay, it's fine. Just move on. And PD did some extensive research, so shout out PD for this, and looked back at all the Coyotes seasons and saw how many 20 goal scorers were in each season. So obviously there's been at least one 20 goal scorer numerous times. There's only been two on a team once in 2008-2009.
Three
is the most popular number of 20 goal scorers on the Coyotes, which is interesting.
Is that the number for the Holy Hand Grenade as well? Three? Can't yes. remember. I think it is.
I actually got that reference. And then
I didn't get that reference.
Monty Python. Oh. How about that?
It's just flesh wound.
There have been four 20 goal scorers three times. Mm-hmm. The last time there were five 20 goal scorers on the same team was 1995-96, which was still when the Coyotes were the Winnipeg Jets, and there had never been six.
Five is right.
And do you know Eddie Olczyk was part of that?
Yep.
Eddie Olczyk?
There have never been
Teemu Selanne, Alexei Zhavnov, Igor Korolev, and Dallas Drake had 19. He just missed making it six.
Dallas Drake.
One other thing interesting here, we overlook this. Clayton Keller got 30 goals twice. In 2 years in a row. The last time that a Coyote had a player with consecutive 30-goal seasons, you have to go back to 1999-2000 and in 2000-2001, and it was Jeremy Roenick. It's been 23 years since this team had back-to-back 30-goal scores.
Yeah.
The same guy. That's incredible.
The 30-goal mark is like, you can't find it in this franchise.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And you go back to something, I mean, it kind of shows where this franchise is, no offense. But, like,
when you throw it my way.
Yeah, we'll get there. So for this franchise, what this shows me, when you have 520 goal scorers, this shows the ability to have secondary scoring and the offense spread out. It is so unusual for this franchise to have that. We've talked about how rare it was to have 20 goal scorers. The most, again, was three. And of those three, it was almost always Shane Doan. Almost always. It was Shane Doan as one of those three. Mm-hmm. And there you can throw a Danny Briere and, Brad Richardson had 19. He was so close. A Verbata, a Whitney that they had in. But the consistency that
Mike
I
Comrie.
Think... Mike Comrie. Well, he had 30.
Yeah.
Wow. Mike Comrie had 30 goals for this team. Yeah, you go through the list, and there's some really obscure names. But what I think this does, when you get that plateau and you have that many 20 goal scorers in your lineup, I think it really bodes to what your secondary scoring in your offense is. And I think... if you're not going to have that top end and talent, when I mean you're not going to have McDavid, Matthews, Draisaitl putting up those kind of goal numbers, I think that it's important that you have scoring, not just at the top end with Schmaltz and Keller. I think it's important that you get that goal scoring spread out through your lineup.
I just think it's impressive that for a team that is probably going to finish fifth worst, that they have the chance.
I don't even know where he's going,
that they have the chance at having six 20-plus goal scorers for the first time.
Well, allow me to retort.
I'm concerned.
You mentioned the first point. It just shows how bad this organization has been at finding goal scorers, that they haven't reached this. Because this is not an unusual occurrence in the NHL if you start looking through the annals. Okay? Coyotes are still 19th in goals per game.
Yeah.
Not even top half of the NHL, 23rd in goals against, by the way. Team A finished with the fifth worst record, and at least half the players we're talking about won't be here in the future. So it's not like this is, oh, this is good for the future. Secondary scoring, you're right. That's what it's indicative of for the first half of this season when they were actually a good team and in a playoff spot. Lately, no. Sorry to drop all this on you. You know how many teams have had at least 520 goal scorers in NHL history? I don't know either, because the NHL record book stopped counting at like 528. There were so many. It was so common that...
It's fair.
Yeah. And you know what's unique about that 1995 season, 96 season that we referenced? That was the highest scoring NHL goal scoring season in the past 30 years.
When the Jets had that many?
95, 96.
Is that true?
Wow. Yep. That's
highest
a fun
goal scoring season in the last
you did research
30
yeah,
years.
Did.
This season, when the Coyotes might have five, might have six... Yes. Six is still on the outside, would be the fourth highest goal scoring season in the last 30 years. So goals are up. We've seen goals coming up the last three seasons. That's part of what's at play here. They're scoring more goals. I look at this and I think, yeah, this would be great if they were actually still in it, if they were sustaining what they were sustaining earlier in the season. But I just look at it now and be like, well, congratulations on getting where a lot of other teams already are.
And that's
but
trying
maybe,
to sustain
but
this.
Maybe that's fine to get there right now. Like,
yeah, it's fine.
I think it's a good starting
listen,
point.
Scoring 20 goals is hard in the NHL. Yeah. And it's a great accomplishment for these individuals. But in the team scope of things, it's not really doing anything for them. And it's not like it's even building for the future because, as I mentioned, at least half of these guys will be gone.
And I'm just curious because you're not wrong on any of these things. And it, the only statistic that really matters is winning games. And when it boils down to it, that's all that matters. Because you can talk about McDavid and Draisaitl putting up hundreds of points, and they don't win shit. So does it really, really matter? Like, he gets the MVP trophy every other year. They alternate back and forth. But you don't win. Does it matter? They haven't been in, they're not in the Stanley Cup Finals since that he's been there.
Nope.
So does it matter? And I just wanted it, for instance, the number one goal scoring team. Well, let's go to the Colorado Avalanche. I was just curious. Colorado Avalanche, you know how many 20 goal scorers they have right now? They have three. The Coyotes have more than that right now. Makar is going to do it, and he's going to break in. But let's go to the Dallas Stars, who right now score more goals than any other team in the National Hockey League, and see how many 20-goal scorers the Dallas Stars have. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 right now. Seven today, and they've got one at 18 and an outside shot at 15. So they'll have eight. Jamie Benn's two away. He'll get two more goals. So they'll have eight. Okay. That's balanced scoring.
Yep.
And when you've got guys that are going to, they're going to end up with 330 goal scores.
Yeah.
That's when you go, oh my. And those are teams that will be in the Stanley Cup Finals. The teams that have
roll four lines, right?
Yeah. You roll four lines. And I guess the encouraging sign is you look at, Cooley, can he be a consistent 20 goal scorer in this league? Dylan Gunther, Josh Dolan. Can those three be, if you put those three guys together.
Josh is going to score 80. So
yeah, he's going to. He's on track for 164 points. but you put those three together, if they can continually be 20 goal scorers plus in this league. Now, Craig, and I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but I'm saying if that three young gun core,
yes,
they could be Colorado. They could be Dallas. They can be those teams now, 4 or 5 years from now. If they're consistently in that 20 to 30 goal range every year, now we're talking.
Yeah, because that's the future.
Right.
And you add a few other guys. Maybe Daniel Boot can score 20 goals with
And then it's going to come back down to...
Composite measure of 17 feet because he's scoring from
then,
in front of the net.
And then when those three guys, Gunther, Cooley, and Doan, when those three guys are consistently getting 20-plus a year, whether that's 26, 27, 27, 28, 28, 29, whatever that is Clayton Keller... Keller and Schmaltz, will they still be here?
Yeah,
I don't know. Those are 20-goal scores.
Schmaltz, I would say no.
Will Keller and Schmaltz still be here in 27, 28? I don't know, man. That's a long time from now. And we all think that, oh, Clayton Keller, he'll be here forever, buddy. Maybe not. Maybe not. And I guess that's why for Coyote fans and the future of this franchise, when the new building comes up, start thinking young guns. Because the young guns are going to where the middle core is now. The young guns are going to be where Clayton Keller, Nick Schmaltz, Kraus is now. That's where that middle core is going to be. That middle core is going to be Doan, Gunther, Cooley, Boot, Simashev, Lamoureux, Geeky. that's going to be what you're looking at. Keller, Schmaltz, that crew now, that's what this team is going to look like in 27-28. So if those guys are consistently putting up 20-plus, and Geeky might be in there too. He's another guy that can put up great numbers.
Yep.
Now you're talking 5-6 guys in the 20-goal
scores.
That's
what you need.
And you got a defenseman that might be able to put up those kind of numbers. You know, I don't know if Lammer is going to be the offensive guy or Simashev, but you're going to have a defenseman like Kale McCarr sitting at 18. Oliver Ekman-Larsson put up 20 twice as a Coyote.
Yep.
You put one defenseman and five forwards that are getting over 20, now you've got a team that's going to compete for a cup.
Well, the one guy that I want to highlight there on the list of guys who now, after last night, could very well hit 20 is Logan Cooley, who has scored the majority of his goals since Dylan Gunther arrived with the team. And Logan Cooley has been on fire lately, 16 goals right now. He's just four away from 20 with 9 games to go. And at the start of the season, the preseason hype for Logan Cooley was extremely high, especially what he did in Australia.
His fault.
And not just Australia, the preseason as well. He scored, I think, in every preseason game. And all of a sudden, you know, the season starts and Bedard's and Cooley kind of, you know, goes to the background. He's not quite in the Calder conversation. But look out, because he's now tied for fourth in rookie points with Marco Rossi, and he has a chance to finish second if he stays hot. So Logan Cooley has certainly made a huge comeback in the second half of the season, which hopefully will be good for his momentum going forward into his career in his sophomore season. But Logan Cooley we're not saying Logan Cooley is going to win the Calder or anything, but could he be back in the conversation?
Yeah, I mean, he could make a late push here and be the other finalist, maybe. Maybe the third guy. You're talking about Marco Rossi. You're talking about Luke Hughes being that third guy. He could be in that conversation at this point, maybe at least be top five. You mentioned he's done most of his scoring since Dylan Gunther. He's got 13 goals since Dylan Gunther came up.
Unreal.
So they have chemistry, and you would really like to see Logan Cooley push. But we were talking about the benefit that Tucson has had on Josh Doan and Dylan Gunther. I will say this to the day I die. I think Logan Cooley could have benefited from being in Tucson at least the first half of this season, just like Dylan Gunther was.
Yeah,
I think his game would be better if he
I don't disagree
that.
When you look at how he started this season off, and we talked about the pace of the play here, and I think he still tried to play like it was a college game, and I think it took him 30 games to figure out it wasn't. So I don't disagree with that. I don't know if there was a prospect of that happening to him that he would have left college. And I think if American League was on the table for him, I think he'd still be playing for the Golden Gophers right now. And who knows, they may be playing for national championship if Logan Cooley's still there. So
does that bother you? Does that bother you that a player is like, it's either or for me? Yeah, it bothers me too.
Yep.
What's best for your development, not...
I'm not even just what's
right
best for your development, because I agree that's important too, but what's best for the team and the team's future?
Yep.
And the best, and we'll say it, and we talked to Coach Powers. He said it was time for Josh to go. Like, and Coach Powers at ASU, he wants his team to be successful. He wants Josh Doan in his program, but he said it was time for Josh to go. For his development path, it was time for him to go. But Josh also recognized it was time for his path to go to the American League.
Yeah.
And Josh recognized it, and he went there with the right attitude and the right face. I don't know. Logan Cooley, I think, honestly, if the American League was an option, I'm pretty sure he would have ended up back in Minnesota, because at development camp, he was planning on Minnesota.
Yep.
Like, he was a Gopher.
I agree with you.
And I think if
there was a lot that played into it, right?
And like, would that have hurt him another year at Minnesota?
No, it definitely wouldn't hurt
him. I don't
think
so either.
He went to learn how to play the pro game.
Right.
So
and now he's, yeah.
That's why I think the AHL was the best route for him. It would have had the most value to his game. Yes, the agent played a role in that. We had Scott Bartlett on our show.
Yeah.
I think that played a role. I think Bill also wanted to make a statement about this being an attractive place to be. The free agents he brought in, he got Logan Cooley to come here. This came right on the heels of the Tempe vote failing. They needed some good news around here because there was a lot of talk around the league. So I think all of that played into this decision.
Yeah, it's funny. The other thing I looked at, and we have to talk about Connor Bedard. I know we do. But I just went back and look. He has 3 goals in his last 17 games, 1 in his last 7. He's definitely cooled off. And this is a team that sucks. And they can't put up points and they can't score. And he has.
But he's the presumptive Calder Trophy winner.
Presumptive. Literally, when they pull this ping pong ball out of the case.
Yep.
He's the Calder Trophy.
It's almost like you can't assail this argument.
No.
Nobody will hear it.
No.
What are you talking about? You're ridiculous.
It's Connor Bedard.
Yes.
It's Connor Bedard.
Look at his offensive talent, which you cannot deny. He's absurdly talented offensively. Should I launch right now?
I would like to tell everybody about OGs first, because I think we might need an OGs before or after Craig's diatribe here. But it is OGs Flavoring Friday. So I hope everybody after, you know, long work week unwinds with some OGs, whether it's indica or sativa, whether it's happy balance, a microdose, something to help you get to sleep. I know PD needs that most days.
But it'll be indica tonight, by the way,
it's if you're wondering. There you go. It's also gummy madness season right now, so you can follow along as 8 competing dispensaries put gummy versus gummy against each other each week in a bracket to determine a champion. And you can vote for your favorite gummy as the winner, and the winner will receive a BOGO offer. So follow along to see who wins. To learn more about OG's gummies and where you can find them, head on over to OG'sBrands.com. It must be 21 or older to enjoy responsibly.
And then go to America's Thirst Stop Snack Stop. And today, if you're in the Discord, you know this is true. It was my gas stop, because I lived a little dangerously today, because it's
so
Friday.
Dangerous.
And I went on the edge today, and I let my car get to 75 miles to empty today.
Is that a quarter tank or more?
It's just about a quarter tank.
Okay.
And so I risked it today, and I got to 75 miles, and I said, it's time for Circle K. And if you're in our Discord, the picture is literally there to prove it. So, yes, I went to Circle K, and yes, I am in the inner circle, Circle K's very own membership program. And as Leah has mentioned, it is so easy. Enter your phone number, and then it just gives you this glorious message that you just save money. It tells you you save money. And then not only that, it tells you how much money you saved. So be a part of the inner circle, because not only do you save 25 cents per gallon on your first 5 fill-ups and 3 cents per gallon every day after that, you also get great discounts and selections of all of their great snacks. You get the 6-1 free if you buy 5 on pizza, coffee, and their ice cold fountain drinks. Join the inner circle today for free by downloading the Circle K app today. Terms and conditions apply at participating locations. Visit CircleK.com for more details.
PD, is that the lowest you've ever let your gas tank go?
I left here yesterday at 150, my intent was at 100 miles. But it was a bright, sunny day, so I ran a few errands, and I go, I will get it on my way home, and I did just that. I waited till 75, and that is almost bare minimum. Like, if I get below 100, it's time to go.
Charles said, I filled up at 115 miles today, PD. You're slipping.
Yep. See, and that is the kind of influence I want to have.
You are getting in my head.
That's the kind of influence.
Wait, I need to take a poll here, because when do you fill your gas tank?
Okay, well, I used to do it when my gas light came on, or right before.
So it's
before.
About 50.
That's what you should do.
Yeah, like 30.
Mine was 35. Yeah. My gas light used to come on 35.
For the health of your gas tank, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
I wonder, when you take the gas cap off, do you hear voices in the gas saying, please let us die?
The dust, the
please
cough.
Let us die. It's like
we've been in here since 1994 at the bottom of the tank.
Yeah, I'm at 108 right now. You're in my head.
Okay.
You're in my head.
Christina's at a quarter of a tank, filled up 115. Nicholas, 92. He'll fill up tomorrow.
Robert, dude, I let it drop to like 10.
Good for you, Jacob.
Seriously.
Robert said I top off as soon as the needle edges off F.
That'll go, Robert.
That's
great. That'll go, Robert.
I hope you're in the inner circle, Robert.
That's the best response. All
but again, if you've got high anxiety, if you know, you know. Like, I hate that. Buddy, I don't know if it's living in northern Minnesota and having places be hours away and you're going, oh my God, I'm on fumes. I have to turn the air conditioner off. I roll down hills and put it in neutral. Like, yes, I've done that before. Swear to God. If you haven't, you're not living in northern Minnesota. So now if I've got an opportunity, I will never get that low again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm handing the floor
to Craig.
Because he is prepared for this rant.
What do you guys think about plus minus as a stat?
Honestly. I think there is some merit to it. Do I think it's an overall way to evaluate players? Probably not, but there has to be some merit to it, because you are on the ice when you get goal scored. Now, if you're a -4 or -5, hey, buddy, you just stepped on the ice and they scored.
HK.
There are a few of those that happened without question. You had nothing to do with the play. Your feet were just happened to be on the ice. Not your fault. But that's when you're -4 or -5. And I'll let it go.
Okay. Well, I've been told that Connor Bedard's plus minus doesn't matter. And by and large, I agree with this. But, you know, Connor Bedard's plus minus doesn't matter. We've heard this argument floated on our own show, actually, by respected media members such as The Athletic's Mark Lazarus, and by media members of questionable characters such as our own Pete Blackburn. Are their arguments valid or just superficial punditry lacking deeper analysis? Well, Let's dive into this. Let's start with some historical context. The record for a Calder Trophy winner is Gilbert Perreault, -38 in 1970-71. That's the worst recorded plus minus among Calder winners. Bedard is currently -39, on pace to set the record. The next closest rookie among the top 10 rookie scorers this year is Luke Hughes at minus 18. So less than half, right? The pro-Bedard argument goes like this. Connor Bedard plays on an historically bad team, an AHL-caliber team. He has no players around him, so it's not fair to measure him with a stat as awful as plus-minus. I agree plus-minus is an awful stat. It's almost I almost never cite it. It's a team-centric and stat that lacks nuance. The only time I do cite it, when it's extreme.
Yeah.
When a plus-minus gets this far out of whack, it means there's more at play than just team play. So let's dive a little deeper. If the Blackhawks are as bad as the pundits tell us, then Bedard should have plenty of company on his own roster, right? Plus-minus. Yeah. In fact, only line mate Philip Khrushchev has a worse plus-minus than Connor Bedard by one at minus 40. Bedard has been as big of a liability defensively as anybody on this team. Now, it's fair to say he faces tough matchups. That's right. He's going to face tougher matchups. There's some explanation for that figure, but does not excuse his abjectly bad defensive play or this glaring stat. I went a little deeper than this. I searched through history to find that there was only one Calder Trophy winner in the past 50 years who's had a plus minus of worse than minus 20. Not minus 39. Didn't even reach minus 20. His name was Mario Lemieux. 1984-85. And like Bedard, he played on an abjectly bad Pittsburgh Penguins team that finished with 53 points in 80 games and had a negative 109 goal differential. Like Bedard, Lemieux regularly faced tough matchups. The Blackhawks have 47 points, by the way, with 9 games to play and a negative 99 goal differential. So if the abjectly bad team argument is to be believed, shouldn't there be more Calder Trophy winners in Bedard's company? Let's check history. 1995-96 Calder Trophy winner Daniel Alfredson played on an abjectly bad Ottawa Senators club that finished dead last in the NHL with 41 points, 6 fewer than the Blackhawks have now. That team had a negative 100 goal differential. Alfredson also logged heavy minutes in a tough role. He finished minus 18. 2000-2001 Calder Trophy winner Danny Heatley played on an abjectly bad Atlanta Thrashers club that finished dead last in the NHL with 53 points and a minus 101 goal differential. Heatley logged heavy minutes, played in a tough role, finished minus 19. Okay? Got another one for you. 2012-13 Calder Trophy winner Jonathan Huberdeau played on an abjectly bad Florida Panthers team that finished dead last in the NHL with 36 points in a lockout shortened season, minus 59 goal differential. Huberdeau logged good minutes, maybe not as much as the two guys I mentioned, but still in a tough role, finished minus 15. There are other examples. I could keep going here, but I think you get the point. Playing on a bad team with tough matchups absolutely factors into plus minus. But when the minus is extreme as Connor Bedard's, those factors do not fully excuse just how bad he's been defensively. Bedard is, in all likelihood, going to set the record for an extreme example of the worst plus minus in Calder Trophy winner history. History shows us, however, that his situation with the Blackhawks is not as extreme as his stat. This could and should, in my opinion, come into play when voters are deciding whether to vote for Bedard or Minnesota Wild defenseman Brock Faber, who is logging heavier minutes, playing a tougher role as a top pair defenseman, and somehow leading all top rookies not named Bedard in points per game. He's locking it down defensively. He's got a plus 6 rating on a non-playoff team with a minus 5 goal differential. Calder Trophy voters have to be careful not to let the hype and Bedard's otherworldly offensive talents overshadow their objectivity.
Wow. That was a well-presented argument, Craig.
Thank you.
That's impressive.
So I'll be using it when I vote.
That's impressive. And you know what's interesting to me? Because what I did not know, because I did not do the research, thank God you did, is the comparables to other shitty teams.
Yep.
Because that's important. Because this team is really bad, and they're going to finish poor in the standings. You know, their goal differential is going to be incredibly lopsided. But there were several examples of that exact same thing happening to really bad teams. And we hear Mario Lemieux in Pittsburgh. Buddy, Pittsburgh sucked.
Yeah, they were
horrific. Pittsburgh and the Coyotes were side by each when Sidney Crosby was drafted as the worst two teams in the league. It's just one got Sidney Crosby and one didn't. And you can figure out who that is. If you look it up, but that's interesting to me that it's that poor. So here's what I'm curious about is not Connor Bedard this year. He's gonna. I agree, Craig. I think Brock Faber needs to at least be recognized and noticed that he's what he's doing in Minnesota.
He'll be a finalist.
And you look at what Connor Bedard is doing. What you need to watch with Connor Bedard is what happens next year. and what happens the year after that, because you start to get these habits where if it doesn't matter if you defend and it doesn't matter how you play in your own end, it's difficult to turn that bus around because, oh, I'm here for my offense. That's why I'm here. I'm here to score goals. The hell with the other side of it. And I won't call names out because I've watched a lot of film on a lot of players over the last 30 years. And there are those players that we would laugh at how poorly they defended. Unbelievable offensive players in this league. Like some of the top
Eric
stars
Carlson.
In this
You've
league.
You mentioned him a few times.
And their inability to defend is comical. Like, it's so bad that you would want those players on the ice. And you're thinking you wouldn't want player X on the ice. He's one of the leading scorers in the league. Yeah, we want him on the ice because he can't defend. And I'm wondering where Bedard sits with this franchise that it's not just, it's okay to lose. Like, it's okay to lose. And I get it. There's been so many teams there. Kyrie's have been there. Edmonton's been there. It's okay to lose. But you can't lose year after year after year after year and then have a superstar on that team losing year after year after year and expect him to have good habits. You can't. It's not going to happen. So this year, they'll get away with it. He's going to be a minus 50, and they'll be 100 minus 150 goal differential, and they'll be last, and he'll win the award, and you'll go, oh, how great he was. But let's see where he is in 2 years. And maybe I'm completely wrong. If they get Macklin Celebrini this year and the two of them are playing together, then all bets are off, and maybe they start drafting defensemen and defensive forwards. But wait to see where this goes in the future, Craig. Wait to see what these habits that he's getting today. Where watch him play in the defensive zone. Watch Connor Bedard. You know where he plays? Top of the blue line. He's looking to pick off that pass, D to D pass, because he wants to go the other way. He's not low in the zone. He's not top of the circle. He's not in the corners digging it out. He's at the top of his zone cheating, waiting for that opportunity to get that turnover up top. That's where he plays. And if you think I'm lying, go watch it. So are those habits going to bleed through year after year? Only time will tell, and maybe not. Maybe he's an unbelievably talented kid. Maybe not. Maybe the defensive side will become more important as he continues to play. But that's very interesting research, and I appreciate you spending the time.
Very interesting perspective. And while you were talking, I looked at BetMGM to see what the Calder Trophy odds were right now.
Is it overwhelming?
There's only odds for two players, and I checked another sports book, and it's also only these two players. Connor Bedard and Brock Faber are currently the only two with Calder odds. Brock Faber plus 1,100. Connor Bedard minus 2,500.
It's preordained.
Yeah. To win.
We're not even going to look at the, we're not even going to consider counterarguments. Yep. This bothers me about the voting populace a lot.
Yeah.
Not the American voting populace. I have other issues with them. The people who vote on NHL
on
awards.
NHL
I don't
awards.
Think they do this sort of research.
Of course not.
It's just, it's narratives. Oh, that's ridiculous. He plays on a terrible team, which is, it's all true, but you need to dive
so
deeper
wonder,
if you're going to have the responsibility of voting.
So you, what, and I'm naive and I'm not, I'm sincerely asking, I don't know the answer to this. Who votes on the Calder? Is it the members of the media that vote on that particular award? What other awards did the media vote on?
A lot of different awards, depending.
Yeah,
I'll vote on the Selke, vote on the Hart, we'll vote on the Vezet.
Who does coaches? Coach of the year.
Jack Adams, yeah.
Who do you vote Jack Adams?
Yeah, okay. So.
And so here's what I challenge to the people that are doing this. You can't, it's hard to objectively look at all of these different players when you don't see them play. And I know that that's what we talk about, the bias, the East Coast bias, because you see the Rangers and the Bruins and that's what you see. In Toronto, you don't see the LA Kings. You don't see Nashville. You don't see, the teams in the West. You don't see Seattle, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver. You don't see Vancouver. I don't know when the last time I saw Vancouver Canucks play. Well, they're one of the teams competing for the. I tell you, I've seen the Rangers and the Bruins.
Yeah.
So, people saw. You know what team in the bottom five had their team on the most national television this year?
Yeah, the Blackhawks.
Chicago Blackhawks. Wasn't even close.
Because of him.
Wasn't even close. He was on ESPN's opening night. Connor Bedard. Minnesota Wild is not on ESPN. They're not on TNT. You're not getting that national recognition of a Brock Faber. You were seeing Connor Bedard all the time. So I don't know if these voters have had the opportunity to really see what kind of a player Brock Faber is, and I think you need to see him.
So impressive.
He's unbelievable.
We've seen him live, and
unbelievable.
He is so
the kid
impressive.
Is unreal.
And I might be more impressed with his defense than his offense. And he's got 40 points as a defenseman.
Yeah.
He's second in rookie scoring as a defenseman.
Yeah.
But his defensive side of his game is so mature.
Yep.
He's a really good player.
Yep.
Well, that was a great
was a thing.
Discussion. And I'll be interested to see how that all plays out. But Listen, it's Friday afternoon. It is almost beer o'clock. It feels that way. I cannot wait to drink a beer later tonight, and I will be cracking open a Four Peaks. Absolutely, for sure. Going to see a movie tonight. There's a bar there. So,
oh, nice. You know, I like those places.
Yeah. You know, that's a good setup. I'll be drinking probably a wow, if I'm being honest. It's a really nice warm day, warm afternoon. If you're headed to the D-backs game today, get yourself a Four Peaks beer and visit fourpeaks.com/locator to find all your favorite beers and events. You can buy Four Peaks at all of your favorite grocery stores, at the H Street Pub. Check out at Four Peaks Brew or at Four Peaks Pub to keep up with the latest at Arizona's home Town Brewery, and you must be 21 or older to drink Four Peaks. Please enjoy responsibly.
Petey, allow me a moment. Just don't drink a beer for every run that the Diamondbacks score, because things won't go well for you if you do that.
That is not drinking Buddy, responsibly.
Thank goodness we didn't do that before.
Is that what you did at the party?
It was what I did at the party. All right.
Go ahead, buddy.
That didn't happen. It didn't happen. And I know there might be video evidence to say that it did, but I'm still going with it didn't happen. Then go and play the Arizona Lottery's new ticket and promotion called Arizona Adventure. There are three ways to win. We talk about it all the time. The first way, scratch those Arizona Adventure tickets. They're beautiful. They have iconic, what do we call them?
Landscapes?
Landscapes. Iconic landscapes from this great state of Arizona. That's one. Scratch the tickets. Two, check into geolocated locations. There's 10 of them across this great state, all the way from Yuma to Tucson to Flagstaff and everywhere in between, including the hole in the rock at Papago Park, which
and
I
Pikachu
went to.
Peak.
Pikachu. Yeah, we can't say that. I get in trouble. People get mad about that. I don't know why. That's also there.
I like it.
And then after you check in, you really don't have to buy anything. Just check in, log in, hit I'm here, and it'll say, yo, you're there, and you're now entered to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. And then thirdly, enter your tickets online again for a chance to win that $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. The Arizona Lottery is not just about playing games and winning prizes. It is also about giving back to the state and its communities. Visit azadventure.com for more information on how you can take an adventure for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes.
Well, the Coyotes take on the New York Rangers tomorrow, 3 p.m. Should be a very interesting one. The Coyotes are on a heater.
I want to see the Rangers up close. I'm looking forward to that.
Rangers,
actually,
they were the first team to clinch a playoff spot this year. Should be a really interesting matchup. That's at 3 p.m. We'll be live after that one over here on the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. And make sure you subscribe there, because there's so much extra content on our YouTube channel besides just our live shows, especially from Done Week, as I am now dubbing it, with Shane, with Andrea, Gracie, the whole Done family, Greg Powers, so much on our YouTube channel. And make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts as well, because all of our live shows are also audio shows, and we have weekly audio-only shows, including one coming next week that I think a lot of you are going to be very excited about. So buckle up. It's going to be a good one early next week. Make sure you subscribe and make sure you leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts as well. Anything else before we wrap up? I know we kind of have to get going, but
did you do something with your hair? It looks good.
You can follow us on Twitter at SPeterSonkey, at Leah Merrill, at Greg S. Morgan, at Jacob_Franklin4. You can follow the show on Twitter at PHNX_Coyotes. Enjoy the rest of your Friday, everybody, and we will see you all tomorrow.